Blog Talk Radio.
They forget to bring me water. They forget that I'm here. They don't know how smart I am. They don't even see my tears. What did I do wrong? What did I do? I just want someone to love me. It is to be a dog on a 10-foot chain.
Hello, everyone, and good evening, and welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 216 and counting. And I want to welcome everyone aboard tonight, all you new listeners. Thank you for tuning in. All you returning listeners, thank you for all your support, because these animals need our help in each and every way. There's animals out there that are getting treated fairly and good, and then there's ones out there that's getting neglected, abused, cruelty, suffering, tortured, brutalized, and that's what we're on this platform for. We want to bring the negative into the positive, and that can be done. My name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the producer and host for Voices Carry for Animals on Blog Talk Radio, and I want to, my guest, I've gotten hold of her. She's just going to be running a few minutes late here. So I want to go over a couple things. The caller number, I will be taking calls at probably around 7:30. Area code that you call in, 310-982-4270. Press 1. Let me know you're in the want to speak, because the queue is packed this evening. So please try it. If you want to speak, try to refrain from any noises in the background. TVs, radios, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board. And if you do get bumped off of in out of the queue, please call back, because Blog Talk only allows so many in there. So keep this number every Thursday, because Voices Carry for Animals is on at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listen in worldwide with unlimited listeners. So if, I've had guests on from out of the country. If you have any interpreters, you're more than welcome to come on board and speak. And that, if you want to get hold of me, voicescarryforanimals@aol.com. And give me just a brief bio of yourself, any Facebook pages, groups, social media, videos, petitions, websites, whatever you have, just send me a small thing and we'll get you scheduled to come on air live. Because the more voices out there, everyone, the better. So the changes for the animals. So here's a number I want to give out to all of you to take action, because that is the key. We can stay on this, radio platform and talk all we want to, but if we don't take action, we are spinning our wheels. So here's the number, area code 202-224-3121. And this is to find your state representative or your state senator. They're going to ask you for your zip code, and then if you want to connect with your state rep or your senator, and they will lead you to them. If you can't get through to them, just leave a message or get their email address, fax number, or address to write a letter, and try to be professional and polite, because that's the key right there. And the White House comment line is area code 202-456-1111. And you can, you know, email or say, go up in the upper right-hand corner, contact us on whitehouse.gov. And then you'll have to fill out your name, address, and what's, and write it out, or type it out, what your comment is, you know, or what they can do. But everyone, just, you know, just remain, just, you know, get together as one and fight for these animals, because they need us every day or every minute or seconds. The animals in pain, that's not good. We humans are not, you know, don't like pain, and neither do they. They cannot speak for themselves. They're defenseless, helpless, voiceless, and innocent, just like the children and also the elderly. And I stand up for the elderly also, and it's not a pretty picture for them out there either. So put this on your calendar, and please contact your governor. You can call them up or email and ask or request a proclamation for World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, June 15th on Saturday. And please wear purple. It's going to take 4 to 6 weeks to get that proclamation. You know, you can schedule events. You can go out and on the go out on the streets, hold signs, World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. This day needs so much attention, because it's like pulling teeth. And we're all going to become the elderly if God's willing. So please, everyone, do your part on Elder Abuse Awareness Day. You know, because this, I read on the National Center on Elder Abuse that there's over 5 million elderly are getting abused, neglected, or exploited a year. This is totally disgusting. This is a disgrace to the human race. You know, you're supposed to, your last years of your life, you're supposed to be enjoying them, golden years, and it looks like golden nightmares. So please, everyone, you know, spread the word. Go to, you know, World Elder Abuse Awareness Day on a search engine, and you can find a lot of information. Or, you know, please spread the word, because they need our help, just like, you know, the children and the animals, because they can't speak out and fight for this. So what we're trying to do is help make a better, safer, healthier world for them, you know, because they so well deserve. And with you know, we need more, you know, there is celebrities. We want to give them a big shout out, the ones that help the animals and everything. But we have a handful. We could use a lot more celebrities to step up to the plate. Please, you know, the pro athletes, the pro wrestlers, the football players, the baseball, the basketball, the singers, the movie stars. I mean, all of you. I mean, we can, you know, help fight abuse, neglect of the children, the animals, the elderly. Come on board, you know, come together as one. You know, the news station, the magazines, the newspapers, AM, FM, radio, all of you, you know, we need some more attention, because we got a lot of issues that's ran over from the 20th century, and now it's the 21st century, and it's headed for the 22nd century. So a lot of people, you know, a lot of us will not even make it through half of 21st century, but at least we're planning for the future and generations that's coming up, and animals that's not even born yet, because there are so many. It's overwhelming what's going on out there. It's mind blowing, gut wrenching. I see this on this news feed on Facebook, and it is something else, you know. So I want to just go ahead, and I'm going to bring on my guest. I hope everybody enjoys the show. I'm going to be giving later shout outs in probably the last half hour or last 10 minutes of the show, because all of your support, you know, we need some more help out there in the social media world, because the shares, and I'm not talking about likes, that doesn't do no justice, but every social media site I'm on, I've noticed a massive decrease in action takers for the animals, the elderly. I mean, this list is huge that I want to go on about, but you can't make somebody come on social media and share and take action. But at least we got to call you back and say, hey, we need your help out there, please. So I hope you all enjoy the show, and let's make this a better and safer world out there. It's up to us. All of our voices really do matter out there. So please, and I want to bring on a man I was talking to, and he's got a story, a little short story, about a pit bull that he had taken in his home. And, Bon, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here. Live? Yes.
You're live and on the air. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals. How are you?
Good, good. And you?
Hey, so far so good. Just starting to show up and get it going and trying to get, you know, the voices of the animals. We are the voices of animals. But I want to go ahead and my guest is running late. But go ahead and tell your story about what you're the pit bull that you own, because they always get the rap, bad rap, and it's so heartbreaking, you know. So
yes, it is.
Can you, and it's, you know, that one bites and they all get, you know, get charged with it, and it's not right, you know. One pit bull shouldn't be accountable for all of them. You know, that's discrimination. It's stereotyping. It's prejudice. So you want to go ahead, Vaughn, and go ahead with your story, how you – I think you told me you started out with camping with your wife and your daughter. Go right ahead. You're live and on the air.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, we were camping. We were at our camp in Okeechobee. We went to bed on Friday night, and we woke up on Saturday morning to a dog in our chair. At the time, we really didn't know what kind of dog he was. He was so malnourished. We thought he was like a younger puppy. Or not puppy, but a younger dog. He was had fleas that were so bad you couldn't even stand near him. They were jumping everywhere. You could see him jumping off of them. So we went around to the neighbors that are close to us, which the closest neighbor is about a quarter mile away. So we put stuff on Facebook about found a dog or whatever, and no one ever did anything. Well, we came home on Sunday. We were faced with the choice to leave the dog in the middle of nowhere by himself or bring him with us. So we brought him home. We went to this place called the Rescue Adoptions. They are very great people. We told them that we would keep the dog. We just wanted to help get him healthy. And they couldn't believe that we were going to actually keep the dog. So they were excited about that. And they worked with us and got his shots, and he had a heartworm and all his medications and everything at a really good discounted price. And we took him home, and he was 30 pounds when we got him. He's now about 75, so he's a totally different dog. We found out that he's actually 5 years old, and that he was a bait dog, and someone had just dropped him off out there in the middle of nowhere because they were done with him. They ground his canines. All of his canine teeth are ground flat to his regular teeth. And he's got like chunks missing out of his ears and stuff. And they said that was all signs of dog fighting and being a bait dog. Why they grind the teeth like that is because of when they train their good dogs, if eventually he will snap and bite back. And when he bites back, without no canines, he doesn't damage the fight dog. So just terrible story, heartbreaking when I heard that, like where he came from. And luckily we were there, and he had heartworm really bad, so he would have died, you know, for sure if we left him out there. But I think she was like 3 when we got him, and we were worried about that because we had a young daughter and, you know, a dog we didn't know. Right from the start on Saturday morning when we found him, my daughter, like, was laying with him, and they were really close and affectionate, and it just felt right that we, you know, we could go. Now that we've had the dog, he would never hurt. He would never bite anyone. He's never nipped at anyone. Just the nicest, coolest dog. But he's labeled because he's a pit bull. And he's, you know, he's wide, he's broad, and he looks like he's a mean dog, but he's really not. He's the most friendly dog and would never hurt anyone, and he's been the best thing in our lives for a while now. So we're glad to have rescued him, and I just feel that more people need to see that they're not all vicious, and they can come from a vicious place and still not be vicious.
Right.
You know, we can't label all pit bulls as mean or violent dogs, even if they came from fighting rings like he did. You know, you never know that he went through that. And then to top it all off, we got all that stuff done. I didn't tell you this part. About 2 years in, he was doing this weird coughing, and at first they told us that was from heartworm, because he did it all the time at the beginning too. But 2 years in, he was still doing it, and he was off the heartworm stuff, and we were going to bring him in for an x-ray because they couldn't figure out what was going on. And my daughter was laying on my back patio, and he yawned, and it was just the way the sun came in. She saw something in the back of his mouth. And she's like, "Mommy, Mommy, there's something in his mouth." And then my wife looked in there, and she saw something too. Well, they went to the vet. He had a stick right where the palate of the back of his mouth and his throat, right where they meet at the very back. He had a stick that had went through the one side of the palate and back out the other side. And it went passed through his nostril too. And they took the stick out, and now he has two dime-sized holes in the back of his throat, his roof of his mouth. And it's right where, when you eat, you know how you you push up with your tongue to put it down your throat? The holes are right there. And when he eats at certain times, sometimes it will run out his nose. If he drinks water, it runs out his nose because it's like a hole all the way through. So he's been through so much, and he's still such a happy, nice dog. But fortunately, he's okay, and he's been doing fine. But, you know, very heartbreaking.
Yes, it is. And you know what? I thank you. What's his name?
His name's Kane.
Kane. And we, you know, you don't know how long he was out there, you know, running around
nope.
by himself. And, you know, the owners did not care whether he got fed again or drank water or was hit by a car. Didn't care. And my furry son in this household, he was also abandoned, okay, on 6 acres. And the owner, he doesn't have a chip in him. And when the owner, you know, when they called the owner, he was 21 years old, and there's nothing wrong with that, but he said, "Keep the dog. I'm going to college." Now, there could have been other ways, you know, to let get him to a safe home, you know, than just saying, "Oh, I didn't care." You know, these animals, they have to eat and drink. I mean, they're just like us. So
right.
he doesn't have to. I mean, he was 57 pounds at the beginning. Now he's over, he's 75 pounds and spoiled. And he never has to worry about being abandoned again, you know. So it's just so heartbreaking how they can do that to these animals, whether it's cats, dogs, you know, just let them go and, okay, see you later, you know. It's just sad.
It is sad. Oddly enough, I hadn't gotten a dog yet before we found him. I had a cat that I rescued 20 years ago, and he was 20 years old when we brought the dog. And the cat, man, he didn't like other animals, so I knew it was going to be an issue. But we wanted to rescue him anyway, so we decided we were going to have to make it work. And since then, the cat's passed away, but I rescued him 20 years, and then I ended up rescuing another dog 20 years later. Now we're going to do the same thing with him. When something happens to him, we'll rescue another dog.
Okay, Vaughn?
Yeah?
Hello? Yeah. The guest just came in, so I want to really thank you for coming on air and telling this story, because it's so sad how the, you know, these animals, they get discriminated against and scared of, and they deserve a chance. The BSL is so wrong, you know, in the first degree, and so is dog fighting. I've had guests on from anti-dog fighting, Daniela Jack, and then I'm having Patricia Miles coming on a show soon. But these animals, they have no choice, in the matter. They have to get in the ring and fight them, you know, these other dogs. And they don't walk to these fights, or they get driven, you know, or with their owners. So we have to look at the owner's fault. And whoever
they
the owner
bred.
Was.
They get bred.
Yes. Yes. So that's whoever the bad. Owner was, you know, didn't care. I mean, just, okay, I'm done with you. Go ahead. I'm gonna kick you to the curb. And it's terrible, you know. So, but I know now that in your hands and your wife and your daughter, great hands and a happy ending has occurred. And that's what matters, yes. You know.
Yes, it
so,
is.
Yes. And I would like to have you, you know, speak again sometime too, okay? And I'll,
yeah.
you know, get a hold of you and, you know, because we, you know, not everybody can come on the, you know, listen to the show at the same time and everything. I know they're archived, but that story is so heartfelt and heartwarming at the end, how you took him in, you know. And
thank you.
I just think he wasn't the only stray dog out there running around, but you took him in and took care of business and said, I'm going to make this
yep.
dog happy, you know, so that's great. So, but thank you for coming on and appreciate
thank you.
I love hearing the good stories, the happy endings, you know, where the animal's in a tender, loving, caring home, and the you know, because they're considered furry loved ones. They're just like children.
Yes.
So
yes,
keep up the great
part
work
of the
you're
house.
Doing, Mon. Keep up the great work you are doing. Wow. God bless you. Yes.
Thank you.
That
you
is,
too.
Yes. And you can go ahead and listen in, or, you know, but I'll get a hold of you again to bring you on again, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay?
All right.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Okay, everyone, my guest has arrived, and I'm going to bring her on live. She'll welcome her back. She was on Voices Carry for Animals, number 181. And I want to welcome her back. Her name is Regina Rihanna Quinn, and she is the founder of Blue Angels Pit Bull Advocacy and Rescue Resource. Hello, Regina. Welcome back to Voices Carry for Animals. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, and I'm excited for you to be here, too, you know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know who's came in, you know, just a little bit late, but the gentleman, Vaughn, that called in, he was telling about it. I don't know how much you heard, but it had a happy ending when he took us, him and his wife and daughter was camping, and there was a pit bull that was running around and suspected of, you know, dog fighting, that somebody was just dropped off, but it had a happy ending. That's what we like to hear, right, Regina? Oh, my goodness.
Yes, we do. These dogs need a break. They go through so much, and, you know, between the stereotyping and abuse, you know, they're the most challenged breed, I think, out there, for sure.
Oh, yes. And they get discriminated against so much. And, you know, I mean, all the pit bulls I've knew my whole life through, you know, friends, families, neighbors, ex-coworkers, I mean, everything. They were all so lovable and just so friendly. I'm not afraid of them. You know, I don't judge them because it's like humans.
Yeah.
There's good and bad people in every race, religion, and profession. You know, none of them excluded. So
exactly.
You want to tell the audience a little bit, or just refresh their memory, how you got started with the Blue Angels Pit Bull Advocacy. Because what you're doing, you're out animal act or anti-animal cruelty, anti-dog fighting, you know, education. You're bringing a lot of awareness to Hampton and beyond, you know. So go ahead, tell
yes,
the audience.
I have a lot to share with you, and it's almost like a timeline. And really interesting revelations. I'm having epiphanies and, you know, new knowledge coming in that's really making me look at this, the whole situation with pit bulls in a new way. You know, if we continue to just rescue them and not fix the core problem, you know, it's just raining pit bulls everywhere. You know, it's not going to stop. And it's, you know, in general, it's overpopulation for pets, but for this breed especially, because they were so trendy for so long, you know, there's just so many. The way that I got into rescue, I've always been an animal lover. My first rescue dog, I was a child. He was like my nanny dog, but it wasn't a bully breed. It was a different type of breed. But my love grew for dogs, the companionship, the loyalty, and I grew up and I ended up always helping animals along the way. But I was always, believe it or not, I was afraid of pit bulls, and I wasn't a rescue yet, but I was definitely like, oh, pit bulls. You know, you don't want to have them. You don't want to have children if you have pit bulls. And, you know, my daughter got a pit bull, and I knew she was young and maybe would have children one day. And I was one of those people that was like, why did you get a pit bull? And look at me now. But I think that the problem is that I had then, and I think one of the problems that society has and why there's so much discrimination is because the breed is associated, it's changing, but it's associated with the thug life, you know, gangsters, dog fighting, drugs, things like that. Lower income areas, you usually see a lot of overbred dogs in the area, loose pit bulls. And I think that in order to nip a lot of this in the bud, you know, this BSL came about to just kind of shut everyone down. You know, let's not have pit bulls at all because we can't control, you know, what's going on. And that's not fair. That's not fair to the dogs. And, you know, they need to get to the core problem. And I certainly believe the laws have to change and they have to stop the backyard breeders. The backyard breeders are causing a lot of these problems. I've said it before, but if you have one female pit bull and she has 10 puppies, and those 10 puppies get sold to random people who are not rescues and shelters, you know, and then those 10 puppies get bred one time, just one time. They have an average of 10 puppies each. That's 100 puppies right there in one round, right? So you have backyard breeders that are breeding the same dog 3 and 4 times, and those dogs are being sold and being bred. We're talking one pit bull in a community can literally produce 10,000 offspring in a lifetime in 6 years. Yeah. 10, so where are all those dogs going? 10,000. You figure you have 10 puppies that have 10 puppies each. That's 100. Now you got 100 that have one round each of 10. That's 1,000. You see what I'm saying? See how fast it escalates? And there's a lot of people out there that really love pit bulls, but they're not educated, and they're like, oh, I just want to breed them once and just get a puppy out of it. And I said, well, what about the other 9? What are you going to do with them? You know, so it's I find it really interesting that I think that what I'm finding in my own city of Hampton, which is overrun with a lot of loose dogs, mainly pit bulls, and they fill our shelters, what is ironic in the past several months that I have learned, it's legal to breed dogs. Up to 50, you can have up to 50 dogs in your backyard and be a breeder. And so I tested it out. Yeah, I tested it out. And I went to the treasurer's office, and I said, I'd like a kennel license. And they said, okay, sure. Are you breeding? And I said, yeah, I'm breeding. And they said, how many? Oh, like 30. Oh, okay. And I was about to run my credit card, and I stopped there, and I called them out. I said, do you realize what you're doing? You're adding to the problem. And, you know, at the same time, the city where I am, they don't work with rescues. They don't. What I'm finding is, as someone who rescues pit bulls, so I'm rescuing a very difficult breed, and anyone who rescues this breed has extreme, like, much more challenging situations versus someone who rescues a Chihuahua, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I rescue a Chihuahua, I could easily get that dog adopted. If I rescue a pit bull, how easy it is to get that dog adopted. Like, the stars and the moon and the sun have to line up. So the dog has to be able to be in the housing where they have the dog, where they're going to have the dog. So most of the time people have to own their own home. And then on top of that, they have to have an insurance company that will cover that breed. On top of that, they have to have a pet that will get along with that dog. So, you know, it's just, there's so many things that have to line up for this, these dogs to get home. So I kind of wanted to touch a little bit on the BSL, the racism of pit bulls, and the racism of people that are helping pit bulls even. Well, I'm finding a lot of challenges just helping the breed, which I find is interesting. And how racism,
right,
and BSL are interconnected.
And that, I know it's a tough fight. I mean, I've had, I know you used to be helping Foster Quarter out on Foster's Animal,
yes,
World, and also Conversations with the Pit Bull. I've called in several times on that show. He had an awesome,
yeah,
show. And,
yeah,
you know, he on YouTube, they're all on there, everybody. So if you get a chance, just, you know, on YouTube, put in Foster's Animal World or Conversations with the Pit Bull, because they're all
lots
on YouTube.
Of great shows.
Yes,
yeah, lots of great,
yes,
shows. Yeah,
definitely.
And every,
thank you,
and every show, it was really nice because Foster would let me and the assistant producer there showcase at least like 30 dogs every week from different shelters around the country. So we were able to show their pictures and give them a little more exposure. But, you know, we didn't always know for sure statistic-wise how many got homes. We hoped that they did. But another thing, you know, these dogs get returned a lot. I have one dog that's been returned 4 times.
Oh, no.
And yeah, but it's I got him as a puppy, and he's 5, mm-hmm, and he's been returned 4 times. And what happens is the rescue absorbs that dog back into the rescue, and we have to start over again. But honestly, every time, it was no fault of the dog. I have to honestly say, it was the people. The people gave up on the dog for different, various reasons. You know, and people, I think, you know, they think they're going to get this perfect dog when they, you know, they have this, like, ideal, you know, I'm going to get the perfect dog, and they don't always have the patience to work with the dog and give them that transitionary time to decompress, and that's another thing. I see dogs that get bounced around, so maybe when they were born, their name was Roxy, and then 3 months later, they got sold to someone, and maybe the dog's name turned into Blossom, and then they ended up in the shelter and got adopted, and now they're, you know, they're Bella. You know, like, imagine what it's like for these dogs starting over and over again. And, you know, it's hard on them.
That's right. I mean, because these, when Foster was on, when I went, you know, because he's been a guest several times on my show also,
yeah,
on TS Radio Network with Marty Oakley when I was, you know, hosting over there. And, you know, I would go in sometimes in his shows, Animals Foster World, and see
I
that.
Remember,
I was like,
yep,
this is awesome. Showing dogs trying to get adopted, you know. And I said, he has got a great thing going here. You know, even conversations,
yeah,
with the pit bull. So Foster,
yeah,
I told him, or, you know, I sent him a link to, you know, this show was going on tonight. But he was a great voice
call
out there. Yes.
Yeah. And he
so,
did it really for his love of animals. And, you know, what I liked is that, he, you know, as a public figure, if you want to say, you know, I think that public figures have a great opportunity to bring awareness in such a much, you know, easier and fruitful way versus, you know, maybe an unknown rescue, or because they can, they have the for, you know, the platform and the voice that, that it's already, they're well known. So like Richie Jarvis, another one, you know, it's so great because he's so well known and he's speaking out for animals. And I think it's like we have an obligation, you know, as a public figure, I think that we all, you know, people that are public figures have that obligation, or it would be nice if they all had that devotion to make make a difference in the world.
Yes.
Right? Because they have the
Yes, definitely. I even brought that at the beginning of the show, Regina, when you had
you
come
did?
On yet.
Yeah. Oh wow, that's crazy! Look at us, we're in sync.
I know.
Yeah.
I just brought it up again. You know, musicians, you know, out there, movie stars.
I know.
Pro wrestlers, you know, basketball players, football
players. Could you imagine if?
Oh
if,
my!
Could you imagine
we would
if
really
Oprah,
rock this world? Oh.
Can you imagine
yes.
if Oprah had a pit bull rescue on a show and asked everyone to adopt a pit bull? I mean, our problems would be
know.
Solved.
Isn't that something?
You
I
know,
mean, they,
yeah.
oh, that would be amazing. I mean, that's I was talking about at the beginning of the show, you know, AM, FM. Because here in Florida, they have some, you know, on the TV, some on the news where they have an animal up for adoption or in a section in the newspaper, which I think is awesome, you know.
Yeah.
Or adoption events they announce on the FM radio. If we could get more of them involved, coming together as one, you know, and how
yeah.
much? Let's say Rock, the professional wrestler, would get involved. Can you imagine? Or
it would be amazing.
Right?
Well, I'm hoping we're gonna, you know, one day we'll do that. I know that I talked to Foster recently, and I think he's got some new project coming out that has to do with. You know, something that will bring awareness. So I'm waiting for it. You know, I think he's got something exciting coming up. And,
that's great.
You know, and
yes.
And there's lots of new movies out too. Like, did you see, what is it called? A Dog's Way Home. That's another movie that just, oh God, that movie made me cry. It's a new movie
really?
Out and it's, yes, A Dog's Way Home. And, it's about, you know, it reminded me of me and Hampton. It was this guy, he rescues this puppy, pit bull type puppy, under a building. They were going to knock the building down. And then animal control wanted to take his dog because it was a pit bull. And he had to jump hoops and do all this crazy stuff. And finally the dog, he sent the dog to live with family. It was actually, guess what? It was in... It was portrayed in Denver, Colorado, and Denver it does have BSL. You know that, right? Since like 2009, I think they enacted BSL, and Denver actually went and rounded up over 4,000 pit bulls from people's homes and euthanized many of them, and rescues had to come in from all over the country and save the dogs. But they had the option of moving out of the city with their dog, and the dog would not be taken. So that's what this story portrays, is the guy decides to move, but before he moves, he sends the dog to live with family somewhere far away, like really far away, and the dog goes on the journey back home to find him. And it was just an amazing story. You should try to see it sometime.
Yes, and I'm going to write that down. It's a Dog's Way Home, right?
Yep, and
is.
Then they have lots of other movies. Yes, I think it's on Netflix.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
And there's Robert Redford just produced a movie, The Mustang. That looks really good, too.
Is that about a dog?
Yes. They have a trailer on Facebook on their page, The Mustang Movie, and check it out. It looks really good. And a dog fighting movie. It's animated, but I bet it's good. It's called Chance, the film.
Yes.
And
yes,
he
yes.
has a page too. So please check that out, you know, because
I got one more
one
for you.
Out. What's that?
I did see that. One more for you that will blow your mind. It's actually the movie was filmed in either the UK or Europe. And the name of the movie is called White God. And if you get a chance to see that, I actually contacted the filmmaker and I asked if I could use the movie as an to bring awareness in schools and stuff like that. And they said that they were going to work with me on that. But white God represents the man, the human, okay, white God. And, you know, how we have power and dominion over these animals and what we do to them. And but it was interesting because it was about dog fighting and everything, but it wasn't like it was in a different, country. So it was a little girl who had a dog, and it wasn't a pit bull, but it would be like equal to what we call a pit bull here. It was like a street type dog that they have in over there. And so the little girl has the dog. It's her best friend. And she goes to live with the father, and her father makes her get rid of the dog. He's not allowed to have the street-type dog, like a pit bull type, you know, here in his flat, his apartment. So he takes the dog for a ride with the kid and dumps the dog out of the car. And it was just heart-wrenching. And that happens here all the time as well with these pit bulls. But it just shows you the dog, what happened to the dog. And at the end, he reunites with the girl, but he's so damaged from his life that the ending is just heartbreaking. But the dogs turn against the people. They literally come together like an army, and they come back, and they run through the streets. And, but it was very raw because they start the movie out with a slaughterhouse. The father of the little girl ran a slaughterhouse. So that it's a very different way of targeting people's emotions. Like Chance, the movie's cute animated movie, right? And, you know, I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it hits home. But this movie did something different. It starts out with images in the slaughterhouse, and from the beginning of the movie, they open up your heart. They open up your guts. Like, you're raw, like, before you even 2 minutes in the movie. So the whole entire movie and everything that you see, you absorb, like, 10 times more than you normally would because of the way they open the movie up. And it was brilliant. It was brilliant because it really makes you feel and understand, like, what these dogs go through. But anyway, yeah, that movie, I mean, I was messed up for about a week, and I'm really strong, and I literally cried for days. And I said, you know, I want to use this. Yeah, I was so messed up. I was mad at my boyfriend. I said, why did you show that to me? He said, you wanted to see it. I'm like, I didn't want to see it. I mean, it messed me up. And so it would be a really good tool to show, you know, maybe younger adults to just bring awareness. Even though it wasn't the pit bull, it was very equivalent to what we do here to dogs. You know, what happens to them here.
Yeah, and it's, you know, sad and heartbreaking, you know, have more, I don't know, maybe it's on there on TV, because you see the ASPCA commercials, you know, or Humane Society of the United States, they help the, you know, the abused animals, the band and everything, but leading people more into getting hold of their legislators and creating new laws that are harsher, and, you know, the penalties are stiffer for animal cruelty, you know.
That's important. Yeah, that's really important, too, definitely. But I think it's really ironic because I've been, you know, I know you know me, Debbie, as a very outspoken person for the breed. Oh, you're welcome. But I will tell you, I have been through it as a result of being so outspoken. I have become vulnerable as well. And, you know, I speak out not only, you know, on my Facebook or, like, you know, publicly here, I speak out in my city, and I speak out loudly, and I go up against, you know, city council. I go to meetings, I speak out for the animals. I speak out for, Yeah, but yeah, and it is. It's great, and I'm not going to stop. And they know that I've become the pit bull. I'm tenacious. I'm not going to stop. But
the pit bull Regina. I'll pit bull.
Oh my God.
You're pit bull Regina.
Yes, yes. And I have another lady. I should have my friend Linda as a guest. She's been fighting for animals in my city for 45 years. She's 75. And this woman is dynamite. I mean, you cannot
yes.
stop. She goes, she's wild. I mean, she's 46 years of advocacy, and she sees me as her predecessor, you know, like as the next person up, and she pushes me to stop, you know, to keep fighting. But I've had a lot of problems with, the city, and one of the things I find really interesting is they don't like when you're outspoken because, I don't know. I'm not saying that this is my particular city, but there's a lot of southern counties and a lot of areas where the authorities are definitely in on dog fighting. There's a money trail. The officials and the good old boys, there's a money trail, and dog fighting is big money. And when you start fighting against, you know, things like that, you become a target. And I know advocates that have been targeted by the city and all sorts of stuff in order to censor being outspoken and calling them out for not doing more for the dogs in the city. And I find it interesting that they will censor an advocate, but they'll promote breeding by handing out backyard, you know, breeders' kennel licenses like it's candy. And they're promoting the problem. They're promoting the problem. So the laws need to change as well.
Yes, they do. And what do you recommend? I mean, just go to your, you know, city council's meeting, write letters to, if there is BSL in your area, to help to get it banned. You know, I mean, do your part and be their voices, everyone. And get it, you know, lift that ban, because I see them lifting bans every so often through social media, and I'm like, there's another victory. You know, I'm a victory.
There is
I love
more,
going
yeah.
after the victories. Yes.
They,
so it
yeah,
can
there
happen.
Are a lot. There's definitely a lot of bans being lifted, but I would say one of the things you can do is pay attention to your city councils. Pay attention to, you know, your government city website and look at the bills that they're trying to pass. Look at the new codes that they're changing right under your nose that you're not paying attention to because you're too busy getting your nails done or working to pay your bills or, you know, taking a vacation or, you know, you're not paying attention. And with Denver, Colorado, that is what happened. Nobody was paying attention, and the legislators got together and passed the BSL. And then they sent out the notices to everyone who had a pit bull type dog and told them they were coming for their dog, and people just filed their mail. They didn't believe it, and the day came, and they came for their dogs. And about 2 years ago, I mean, everybody was so upset about this ban in Denver, Colorado, but yet 2 years ago, it came up again in the legislation for the public to be heard to fight that ban and try to turn it over. And unfortunately, only 10 people showed up to the meeting. So the legislators were able to keep it because nobody spoke up. And so whether it was not being aware that it was happening, whether it was, oh, they got other things they had to do, that is the problem, because that's their full-time job, to make laws, ordinances, law, you know, legislation, all of that, and you're living your crazy busy life, and this is going on. So much of the BSL, the bans that have happened right under people's noses because they're not paying attention. And, you know, you got to pay attention to what's going on if you want, and you have to be proactive, and you have
yes.
to speak out. You have to
yes.
speak out.
Definitely.
And that's my
you
advice.
Know,
you know, pay attention.
More, that's right. More unity in the community, you know. Pay attention to what's going on out there, the truth, and reality of it all. I want to give a shout out, Dr. Ray Bittner.
No, go ahead.
She's a former guest. Hi, Ray.
Okay.
Thank you for listening in. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Regina.
No, no, you go ahead. Is someone on? I'm right here. I'll stand by.
Yeah. If there's any, we got the queue packed with people listening. Thank you so much. But one thing, if there's any noise in the background, please try to refrain from it. Anybody wants to call in, area code 310-982-4270. Press 1 to speak, and you're more than welcome to come on board. Because the more voices and action takers, right, Regina, the better, and the faster changes get made. So, Ray Bittner, thank you for listening. She was a former guest on Community Cats United. You know, see how she's crossing over from cats to pit bulls and go back, multitask. That's what we got.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I
stayed
exactly.
up
and go for it all. And I believe she
was. I
used to
rescue cats too.
Yeah, isn't that great though? I love when that happens, you know, because I multitask myself. But she's not going to bring her on air. Hey, thanks for calling Voices Care for Animals. Hi, Ray. How are you?
Hi, Debbie. How you doing?
I'm good. We was just talking about you on air, how you from the Community
that.
Cats United was a former guest here and going to have you back, and you're, you know, how you know, crossed over to the pit bulls. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Hey, I do,
and
it.
Go back
I do it all. I
do
it all. I started out rescuing pigeons. 54 pigeons in 3 years.
Wow.
And you know what, though? I love pigeons. And I know they're dirty, and I know all the stereotypes, rat with wings, blah, blah, blah. But they are the most loving little critter. I just loved them. But then I moved on to cats, and I do dogs, and I've got a rescue snake and a rescue lizard. I mean, you know how it is. You take them as you find them, right? Muggles.
Tell them, the louder you bark, the more you're heard. That's what we got to do.
That's one of my rescue catahoulas. He wants to be heard on the radio, apparently. But I wanted to mention about what Regina said in Denver. So
hi, Ray.
Hi, Regina. You know, nobody, like you said, nobody showed up for the meetings. Everybody
exactly.
said, oh, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. Well, show up and let them know. There was like 23 people at the last meeting in Denver, and I don't think people believe that their voices matter. And that's the
I'm
message
I'm so glad
that
you
people,
know about this. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, we overturned it in Castle Rock just this last
nice.
Year. Breed specific is gone from Castle Rock. And so it's a work in progress, as you know. Of course, now all my dogs are going to bark. Oh, got to go in the other room.
But like you said, Ray, people have to show up because they don't think they think everybody else will handle it. Oh, I'm just one person. But,
right.
you know, exactly, right? But, I mean, in Castle Rock, how many people, you know, helped overturn that? Like, how many, how did that happen? How did you do it? A
there
lot, right?
Right here, right up the road from me, about 20 minutes. I mean, we posted and shared and posted on every group, every
yeah.
rescue, every, and had people sharing, and we made phone calls.
Yeah.
You know, the registry, we
but
got
that's
the
all
registry.
It took.
That's what it takes. You know,
that's what
people that say. People that say, "Oh, well, one person. What can one person do?" Well, look, I'm only 4'11", but I have a big mouth, and I'm
yep.
not going to stop talking about it till it's done. You
that's
know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So you're Pitbull Ray.
I'm the evil triplet, not the evil twin.
Oh God.
That is a good
well,
line.
You know, that's really awesome. I think what you could do is be like a representation of how you changed it there. And maybe how great would it be in your spare time, of course, to start an organization that just fights BSL and guides people city by city how to do it. You know?
Wouldn't that be something?
I mean, you did it.
All over the place to do for cats, but I wish I had three of me. It would be so much easier.
I know. I feel the same way, but they broke the mold, I think, with all of us.
Well, look, I'm going to let you guys get back to talking. I just wanted to chime in, say thank you for everything you're doing. I'm going to go to your page and give you a like and
follow along
with you.
Oh,
all right, thank
awesome,
you so
Bray.
Much.
Thank you. And I'm going to be giving you about coming back on the show, okay, Pitbull Ray?
Okay, Debbie.
I don't have a lot of contacts over in Denver, so definitely send me a friend request. We'll stay in touch.
Yes,
absolutely,
yes,
Gina.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in there, Ray. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're
oh,
rocking
nice
it, both
to
of you.
Get the voice on the radio.
One person can change this world, but together we can rock it. Right?
Yes.
That is so true.
What we got to do.
Yes.
How we got
stick
to
together as one. Right. Teamwork is the key.
Absolutely.
I always stress that. Yep. Go ahead.
I don't mean to be the devil's advocate, but I saw a post the other day by a rescue that I highly respect, and he's actually a humane officer and a rescue when he has a sanctuary. So this jurisdiction that he lives in where he got his 501, he was also able to become a humane officer, and he has law enforcement capabilities. So he can go out and investigate and arrest the people that are animal, dog fighting or, abusing animals, which is would be my dream to be able to do that. But what he said was in his he had this whole post about people, returning dogs. And one of the things that really struck me, and it was so true, was when you talk about, I know, Debbie, you're all about community and unity and working together, and it takes a village to make a change. But what he said, and it's amazingly true, is that the organized criminals, the criminals are more organized than the people that are trying,
sure,
the advocates.
Yeah.
Right? So the rescues and the advocates need to work better with each other versus.
Yes.
I know there's a lot of drama in rescue, as you know.
A lot.
Yes. Too much.
And yeah, and it's almost worn me out at times. And when he said that, I was like, you know what? Look at these criminals. They're so organized. They're like, they have it together. They have a network, and they communicate, and they work together for a bad cause. Imagine if we could all be that organized and work together for a good cause.
Exactly. And you know what? It's teamwork and getting along and getting the drama out of there. Take care of the animals.
Get the drama out, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, forget it. And we're down to 2 minutes here, ladies. And, Regina, I want to really thank you for coming back on air tonight. Vaughn, a big shout-out to you for coming on air, telling about a pit bull with a happy ending. And also, Ray, thank you for calling in. I want to have you back on, both of you. And I want to give some shout-outs here. We've got another caller that wants to call in, but I'm running out of time. So, area code 732, I hope you join in next week and, can come in. But Mike Miller, founder of Pit Bulls Love, will be on next Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern. So, you ladies want to listen back coming in. And but at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listen in worldwide, everybody. Speak out for the animals because they need our voices. And the more of us come together, the better and faster the changes will be made. So I want to do a couple shout-outs here for all the support for everybody that's given me on this show. For instance, TS Radio Network with Marty Oakley for 163 shows and the rest on Animal Advocates Radio. Take Action, Help Ban Animal Gas Chambers. Megan Mason and Holly Smith, Voices Carry for Animal Support Group on Facebook. The Paul's Call Show, which I'm an admin also, fans of animal rights, Arlene, help fight the war against all animal cruelty today on Facebook. Voices for Animals, A Voice for Animals on Twitter. Paws Across America Advocacy, a website that got the page posted there. Paul's Pet Foundation, Sam Diaz, always helps me out. I mean, all the pet interest followers that's involved, and the Twitter followers, LinkedIn, Facebook friends and followers. Thank you all so much. The Pit Bull Advocate, Patrick Bowler, a.k.a. Dog Father, Diane Lynn Echo. She's got a new show on Blog Talk Radio. We love pit bulls. Please visit hers. I mean, this list is huge. I mean, this is teamwork here. You know, posting and sharing. Push that share button.
Maybe you could post them all in one place for us to see them and network together.
There you go. That would be cool.
That's it. Make a post. And you know, just list everyone there, because that's, you mentioned some that I know, but you mentioned some that I didn't. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
You know, I'd love to reach out. And thank you too,
and
Debbie, for your diligence.
Hey, no problem. And hey, ladies, thank you so much. And everyone have a happy Easter this Sunday. And thanks for all tuning in. And hope you join next week, everyone. And have a nice and peaceful evening. May God bless you all. Good night. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Hey, you're so welcome. Love the show. Another great show. Bye-bye.
Good night.